The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Once when Jesus was praying in solitude and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they said in reply, "John the Baptist and others Elijah and still others, one of the ancient prophets who has arisen." And then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised up." And then he said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Let me look at this gospel text from the book of Luke, and in these few moments of homily, to draw it into something that has meaning for us in a contemporary world today. How does this gospel come alive for us today? You remember the very brief pericope we have here where Jesus is with his disciples and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And of course, nobody said, "You're a failure." Everybody said, "Well, you're John the Baptist, the great one. Come back. You're one of the great prophets. People admire you. They were certain of who he was. He is Christ the God. He is the God-man. He is the Messiah. He is the one who came to redeem creation. They were certain. By all means, always avoid the arrogance of certainty. There's very interesting insight in the Catch-22 big book by Joseph Heller, where he says, the corporal and Colonel Korn agree that it's neither necessary or possible to educate a person who doesn't question anything. So when I finish homilies and people question things, this is good. Your mind is alive. Disagree. This is good. For the person who has all the answers, the mind is dead. There is no animation in the spirit. And so they're certain you are the Christ of God. And he said, "Don't be so certain. You cannot preach until the Son of Man suffers, is rejected, unjustly judged, set aside, until you see him dying on the cross. And then you see him rise from the dead. Only then do you know who the Messiah is. And you must experience this in yourself. You must take up your cross each day. And you must go through these experiences in order to become a disciple of the true Messiah." So what does this mean to us? To follow Jesus Christ in this journey where ultimately truth will triumph. Nonviolence will come to life in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Beauty will conquer. Goodness will emerge. Ultimately, goodness will always triumph. But we must go through the difficult darkness and the cross of our days. When I retired, kind of, 6 years ago, I made a bucket list, and I put various things on my bucket list, really important things like the Kentucky Derby, things like that, and Indy 500. But one of the things I put on my bucket list was I wanted to go to Oslo to see where Nelson Mandela got the Peace Prize. Then I want to go to South Africa to see where he was imprisoned for 27 years, to go to Robben Island, where he was in solitary confinement for 20 years, and how he emerged after 27 years carrying the cross of his people. He emerged as a man of peace. Shortly after he was released from his imprisonment, he went to Oslo with de Klerk, the representative of those who oppressed him, and they shared a peace prize. An extraordinary statement, missed by many people, but profoundly gospel-centered. And I became a great admirer of Mandela, how this man could go through all of this and be transformed into a man of peace. By his own admission, he follows a concept, an African concept called Ubuntu. And Ubuntu means, whoever we are together. I am human because I belong to humanity. Humanity defines me as being human. Now, we'll talk about fathers today. I was inspired by my father. I've said that many times, my icon. But it was his humanity which inspired me. Not his success, not his glory, his sheer humanity and the wonder of being human and being lovable. So Mandela carried the cross of his people. And this Ubuntu means that in order for me to be fully human, I have to belong to the human race. And he said, he went on to say at his Nobel talk that if you speak to a man in a language he understands, it will go to his mind. But if you speak in his own language, it will go to his heart. And he was a man that spoke from the heart, out of his suffering. Extraordinary. It leads us to compassion, to understanding, to patience, to acceptance of the humanity of others. And now, my friends, how do we connect with the pulse of the time today? Where is humanity today? Where is compassion, acceptance, understanding, reverence for the dignity and the uniqueness of each person? Where is this? Speak to me about the public conversation today. Speak to me about the soul of our country. Speak to me about the spirit of our church. To say, we belong to one another in our humanity. We are who we are when we are together. Ubuntu. Could we lose our soul? Yes. We could lose our soul. We could offend and deny our humanity through racism, through the rejection of others, through diminishing other people instead of uplifting them. We could lose our soul by not seeing the dignity in the other person. A Jewish friend of mine in Jerusalem told me many years ago, his son was conscripted into the Israeli armed forces. And there was great tension between the Palestinians, as you know, many of you have been pilgrims, and Israeli armed forces. And sometimes it's very violent. And he said to me, I am afraid that my son will lose his soul.
He'll lose his soul. He will lose his compassion, the kindness, the goodness, the reverence which feeds our soul and reveals our humanity. And this gospel today says, unless you go through rejection, judgment, failure, unless you go through darkness and so forth, you have no gospel to preach. You want to follow the Son of Man. You follow the Son of Man into a place of darkness, of rejection, misunderstanding, underappreciated, not thanked, gifts unrecognized, unacknowledged. This is to carry the cross. And finally, I might have mentioned this before, but it was a teaching moment that left a great, great grace with me. A good friend of mine, this happened some years ago, had terminal cancer. He was dying, going through the whole passage toward his death, and I spent a lot of time with him. We were very close friends. And he had all his children taken care of. They were all fine. Some of them were married, and they were secure, and he felt very good about it, except one. He had a son. And his son had left his wife and his children and was living with another woman. And this devout, loving father struggled fiercely. He would die with this incomplete part of his family. He had everybody in shape except the one son. And in all my visits to him, he would bring this up with great anxiety and profound anguish about his son. And then shortly before he died, I went to see him and he said, I have solved it. I'm peaceful. I'm now ready to die. He said, he's my son. He's my son. That's all that counts. If he didn't call him son, he would deny his fatherhood. He would lose his soul. He's my son. And he died peacefully. Interestingly, I told him I would watch over his family and watch out for them. The son, interestingly, eventually married this woman, and that couple now teach the marriage class in their parish. True. Humanity. God is present in humanity. God is present not in the perfection, but in the beauty of somebody who loves imperfectly, like your father, like my father.
The tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbye. His soul's been blessed. He's laid to rest. And I feel all alone. He was more than just my father, my teacher, my best friend. And he'll still be heard in the tunes we've shared when I play them on my own. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he made be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. As a boy he'd take me walking by mountain, field, and stream, and show me things not known to kings, secrets between him and me. Like the colors of a pheasant as she rises in the morn, or how to fish or make a wish beside the fairy tree. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. I thought he'd live forever, he looked so big and strong. But the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and a son. And suddenly, when it happened, there was no one left to say, no second chance for words of thanks for all the things he'd done. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man gone. I miss him, the old man.
Please stand and we shall pray now. Jesus taught us of the image of God as a loving Father. Now I invite all the fathers of our community to please kneel. And if you are standing next to somebody who is kneeling, please place your hands on that person's shoulders. Otherwise, extend your hands in blessing. As one family, we now pray for our fathers here present, remembering all those not present with us today, our fathers who live in spirit in our lives. We'd ask you to answer each invocation with a resounding and faith-filled Amen. On this day of all days, may you have the love and respect of your children. Together we pray. Amen. We bless you with the awareness of our gratitude for your sacrifices in giving life opportunity to us, your children. Together we pray. Amen. As you have dreamed and hoped for success and for fulfillment for your children, so now do we dream and hope for you. Together we pray. Amen. Genuine prayerful love embraces all of us in our best and worst of times. In God's providence, our fathers are given to us to receive the love of Jesus, the forgiveness for their sins, patience for their failings, and acceptance in their humanity. We ask for the grace of generous hearts. Together we pray. As we pray over the fathers here present, we remember with affection and with gratitude those absent from us today, living and dead. We offer the faith, prayers, and love of this assembly. Together we pray.
Amen.
On this day dedicated for fathers, may they know how much they are loved. From grateful hearts, we pray and give you this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's offer our applause by way of recognition. Wonderful. I'm a kind of a father. Well, not really now, you know. Don't get it wrong now. But I have hundreds of kids. I mean, I've always thought the children here, they're like my children. When they want to get to school or they need help or something, I hope they come to me, and they do. Because I think the children of this family, they're all my children too. And so, this is true. And now we pray to our God who sent his Son to die for us so that we might pick up our crosses. Let us now offer our prayer for the needs of all people.
For the church, the body of Christ on earth, to whom God has entrusted a share in the ministry of Jesus, may we go forth every day bearing the gospel of the world with grace and courage, enthusiasm and joy. We pray to the Lord. For our struggling world, created in hope, yet broken by sin, violence begets violence. Send us your Spirit, O God, to find new and creative ways to resolve conflicts in our lives and in our world. We remember the victims of last weekend's killings in Orlando. May the families and friends of all the deceased and injured victims be surrounded with the hope that our nation will work to end the possibility of such violence in the future. We pray to the Lord. For the creation you have given us, may we be good stewards of the gifts of creation you have entrusted to our care. During this summertime, may we grow in our appreciation of the gift of creation entrusted to our care. We pray to the Lord. For fathers in prison who were united this weekend through our Get on the Bus ministry, may this brief reunion remind them of the love they have for each other and encourage them to stay in contact until they are permanently united. We pray to the Lord. For those who carry heavy crosses at this time in their lives, may they experience and know the strength and support they have in this community of disciples to help carry the crosses they bear. As disciples of Christ, help us to reach out to those in need. We pray to the Lord. For the sick, all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, may they be brought to health and wholeness through the mercy of Christ and the ministry of his disciples. We pray for those injured in senseless acts of violence, those named in the Book of the Sick, and Manuel Ferdin and Vince Fondrick. We pray to the Lord. For those gone before us into the mystery of death, may the grieving find consolation and hope. And may all the dead now share in the glory of God forever and ever. We commend to you today those killed in last week's shooting in Orlando, Florida, and Ava Brink, sister-in-law of Patricia Parr, Charlene Ortega, Rosalie Hutton, mother of Father Leon Hutton, John Barber, brother of Mary Fosselman, Marie T. Williams, Helen McCabe, and Marguerite Doyle, mother of Paul Doyle and mother-in-law of Lori Reardon Doyle, and Sheldon Dingle, husband of Elizabeth Dingle. We pray to the Lord.
I'd like to add a prayer for our community, for our church, that when we consider the martyrs of Orlando, we will see them as our brothers and our sisters, members of our families, our sons, our daughters, members of our church, belonging to us, not in a pejorative way, but in the bonds of charity and the bonds of love. Now that's a grace for which I pray will flourish in the soul of this community. We pray to the Lord. Compassionate God, you have entrusted the prophetic mission of proclaiming your word to a world often unable and unwilling to hear. Strengthened by your Spirit, may we never be ashamed to confess our faith before others. Hear this and all our prayers offered in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, one with you and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.
"465, all is well with my soul, 465.
Pray that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. God of life, send your Spirit upon us, that we may be transformed more into the likeness of Christ the Lord, revealed to us in God's Word, in community, and in the Eucharist today. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to call our children forth. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you laid the foundations of the world. You have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You formed us in your own image and set us over the whole world in all its wonder, to rule in your name over all creation, to praise you and to thank you. And so with all the choirs of angels, we sing our unending hymn of praise. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Let your Spirit come upon these gifts like the dewfall, that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time of his betrayal, as he entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you."
Jesus has given his life for us.
In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the cup and once again gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me."
Jesus has given his life for us.
The mystery of faith.
Eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate this memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and to minister to you. Humbly we pray that, sharing of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world. Make us grow in the fullness of charity together with Francis, our Pope, and Jose, our Bishop, and all women and men who serve you. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, the blessed apostles, and all who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. We gather as one family in prayer as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
Deliver us, Lord, from every evil, and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin, and protect us from all distress, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen, amen, amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you live forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Let us share that blessing. This is Jesus Christ, the one who calls us to the fullness of our humanity. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, happy are we called to the supper of the Lamb.
One bread, one body, 3, 4, 2. We are
Gentile or Jew.